Hi, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
We got a great show this week. Because we're back finally after a week off. Christy Bowen's going to be joining us from Nashville, Tennessee. We've got to talk about video production and how it affects us as voice actors.
Cool, man. Great idea.
Yes. And we've got a new feature, DAWView 2016.
Right here on the blue screen.
Right here on the blue screen. We're going to show you some software stuff and digital audio workstation stuff on some Twisted Wave stuff tonight. So lots of stuff here on VOBS. Don't go away. We'll be right there.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere, together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years of experience in broadcasting and recording, and the myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is, together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop. And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi there, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
No BS this week. Only the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
That's what I want to hear.
We have a great guest. Christy Bowen will be joining us. We'll talk about video production. She's a voice actor, but she also does video production. She's a producer. I want to be a producer with my name. Yeah, we're going to talk about that and how it affects us and as voice actors and how we can perhaps get more work working with producers and that sort of thing.
Cool, man.
Yeah, but first we have to thank all our sponsors.
Super important.
Because it's very important that we thank our sponsors, because without them, this show would probably still start late, but it'll still get on. But anyway,
without our producers, we couldn't buy a new Mac, which I think we're going to be getting very soon.
I think that's coming up in the budget right now.
Anyway.
Harlan Hogan over at VoiceOver Essentials.
That's right. We also have VoiceOver Extra.
Edge Studio.
Mm-hmm. Source Elements.
Rehearsal.pro.
That's right.
Rehearsal Pro or Rehearsal, the Rehearsal app at Rehearsal.pro.
That's correct.
Okay.
And Antland Productions.
Where you can get yourself a killer demo.
Right.
All right. Let's get to the meat of the matter tonight. Remember, if you have any questions for us, because we're here to help you with your home voiceover studio. That's our job.
We still do that.
We do.
We've kind of forgotten about that sometimes.
Well, it's not that we forget about it. It's just that people need to ask us questions. So if you have a question for us, throw it in the chat room. I believe Antony is in there. And he will throw it up here, you know, during the show, and maybe we can answer those questions. I know we have a question that was written in tonight, short but sweet, with the answer on that.
I will be.
And just ask it, or email it to us during the week at theguys@vobs.tv. All righty. And now,
the VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News, the latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news. Brought to you live.
All righty, here is the VoiceOver Extra VOBS news. Starting a local voiceover group. Where's a great place to meet up with voiceover colleagues to share experiences, to learn what's new and how to get ahead in this biz? Why, of course, it's VoiceOver Body Shop. You're here every Monday night, right? We virtually step right into your home studio, and you come right into ours, and we learn and have fun. But neither can beat in-person, face-to-face opportunities. If you can't attend voiceover conferences or there's no meetup group in your area, what do you do then? Well, take the initiative and start a group. In a new article on VoiceOver Extra, VoiceOver pro Evan Schmidt tells how he got such a group going in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area, and how he shares tips on how to start and grow one of your own. Now, Evan is a millennial, raised in the world of instantaneous online communication, but still values meeting friends for coffee. Face-to-face is far more valuable than ever before, he writes. It's very easy to become isolated in VoiceOver, and meeting others in person is good for you. So here's how you get started. Number one, search and find everyone involved in VoiceOver within 25 miles of you. Maybe you know them from a VoiceOver class or Google or something like VoiceOver whatever or your town or region. Contact at least five of these people and send an email inviting them to meet you for coffee. When you meet, talk shop and give everyone the opportunity to speak. Keep the chatting on topic. Share your experiences and advice at the same time. You might invite guest speakers, VoiceOver professionals, and coaches to talk and share their wisdom. Now, do this at least monthly and keep the group growing. Create an email list and a way that people can respond and join and get a time and location that's convenient for most people. Taking a cue from VOBS, your monthly meeting can add a virtual visit on a large monitor from anyone anywhere. Now, Evan notes, as with anything, there are challenges to overcome. One biggie is getting people to show up. So think of incentives for that. And remember that if you provide something of value, people will return month after month, like food. Here are more details in this article, which you'll find at VoiceOver Extra, your one-stop source for all sorts of information.
Very nice.
All right.
Well, I think this would be a good time to actually turn on my mic, first of all.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, that sounds a lot better when I turn on my mic. And I think it'd be a nice time to do that little mailbag check-in, and then after the break, we'll do our Dollview 2016.
Yes!
So we got a quickie. This one came in from Danielle, and she says, I've been having problems with my HP laptop computer for a couple years now. Every time I record using my interface, I have tried three brand new interfaces, all with the same problems. The recording cuts in and out. Not the playback, she says. Maybe it is an Audacity problem. Maybe it's my computer. The Costco concierge can't figure out the problem.
The Costco concierge?
Yes, the Costco concierge.
They have a concierge?
They do.
Makes it sound so classy.
The reason you pay for Costco goods is you can return them, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
But okay.
I wanted to hire someone who is a computer and sound professional in one.
Whoa!
Combination. Who can quickly and efficiently diagnose and fix these types of issues, whether on this laptop or a new computer. Can you give me some recommendations in West Los Angeles? Thank you so much, Danielle.
Over there.
So in West LA, well, of course, there are a ton of, you know, audio guys here, a lot of computer people. But the challenge is finding someone that is a guru at all things audio and Windows.
Yes.
Who is available for hire. You know, I've been doing this stuff for a long time. I'm a tech for hire. But the problem is that the frustrations that run, there are deep, deep, deep frustrations
deep,
with Windows.
Deep, down there, those.
Yeah, with Windows issues, with Windows audio issues, with glitches, dropouts, you know, static, incompatibility issues. It's a deep, deep list of things that can go wrong. And as dialed in as we have things in our studios, believe me, things still go wrong. But the number of variables exist on Windows computers is mind-boggling. I'm going to look at this camera over here now. Talk to me on camera four.
This one right here.
And so the list of problems and incompatibilities grows dramatically when you're on a Windows computer, because the Windows operating system and the hardware are not made by one company. So they have to be able to talk to each other, and there are a myriad ways in which the two of them can have problems. And the other issue is, the other variable is, the audio drivers being compatible with not only your computer's hardware, but the version of Windows you happen to be running. So there are tremendous amounts of variables, just a huge amount. So if you haven't gotten to the bottom of this by consulting with one of those three, I think you said three. Yeah. You said you tried three brand new audio interfaces. If you consulted with any of the technicians from all three of those companies, and they didn't get to the bottom of it, this is a great sign for you to open your horizons, broaden your horizons, return that HP laptop to Costco because they have a wonderful return policy, and go and get, dare I say it, yes, an Apple computer. I know I'm going to get flamed for this. Anybody that knows and watches our show, you've been watching us a long time. You know our opinions on this. Are Apple's perfect? No. They are, nothing is perfect. But the fact is that the OS and the computer are designed and developed to run on this. They're designed and developed to run together.
Right.
And you get support from the same company. The guys that make the software also make the hardware. You have one place to get support, and there's just so fewer variables to deal with. So honestly, I know you may not like my answer, but give yourself a shot with a Mac. Don't get a really expensive one.
You don't have to. Get one used.
Get one used. I mean, I love buying Macs used. I buy them on refurb, actually. That's one of my favorites. This is a 13-inch MacBook Air. Just the MagSafe connector came unplugged. This thing was, I think, $1,000, but it's not. It was a couple of steps up from the bottom. This is an i7 MacBook Air. If you got the lowest end MacBook Air, it's the 11-inch. I think they start at like $799 or $899. And then if you look on the refurb store, go to the Apple website, go all the way to the bottom, and you'll see there's a refurbished section. You can save another like 15 to 20% or so on a Mac, and it comes with a full warranty. So there are deals to be had. You can probably get yourself a beautifully running MacBook Air for maybe $600 to $700 that will run software beautifully and have far fewer issues. You'll have a better support experience. It might be the time to give it a shot. So
yes,
that's what I'm saying. But in the meantime, if you prefer to toil away with what you've got, that's why I've created the HISS team at my company's edgestudio.com. If you go to the tech department, there's HISS, Home Studio Support Squad. And there's somebody on my team who will be able to walk you through troubleshooting steps, hopefully, and get to the bottom of it.
Who came up with that acronym? That's
our
brilliant.
our wonderful marketing director, Leanne.
Brilliant.
She came up with HISS.
All righty. Well, we're going to try something new here after the break. We'll call it DAWView 2016 until January 1st, in which case we'll come up with another name. But we're going to talk a little bit about Twisted Wave and something that perhaps you didn't even understand or know about. So we'll be right back after this.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon, and the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to talk about Source Elements, one of our esteemed sponsors of VOBS. Source Elements are the creators of Source Connect and Source Connect Now, two softwares that allow you to connect to other studios with your audio streaming in real time, both directions with really low latency. So what do you need that for and why? Well, those of you who are kind of stepping up in the world of voiceover and no longer are just doing self-directed sessions, where you actually want to be in collaboration with a studio in real time and also allow the studio to hear you at the highest possible quality, Source Connect has incredibly good tools for you to do that. They have Source Connect Standard and Source Connect Pro, and those two software packages are interchangeable. They both can run as a plugin in Pro Tools or Logic, and they can run standalone. You can also try out their Source Connect Now software, which isn't actually software because it's just simply an app that runs on a web page. If you have Google Chrome, you can use Source Connect Now, and it's in beta, which is cool because that means it's free. So you can immediately log into Source Connect now and start trying it and experimenting with it and see if you like the way it works. It's really amazing technology. The audio quality is stellar. And the latency, again, the delay between you and the other end is very low. This is a great alternative backup or backup to ISDN. So I highly recommend checking it out. You can get a 15-day free trial at sourceelements.com and start using it right away. And for those that know what an iLock is, you don't need to have an iLock to run Source Connect Standard or Source Connect Now. Check it out, and thanks a lot to Source Elements for sponsoring VOBS. We'll see you back here in a minute.
Man, there's one show that I can't miss. It's called VOBS. And a lot of people are like, VOBS? What is that?
That is BS about VO.
And I love VO. How much BS is going to be in this show? There's only one way to find out, baby.
You're listening to VOBS.
All righty. Well, I had a brainstorm this afternoon. I had this idea.
I smelled the electrical interference in the room when I walked in.
In the room, heck, you could, coming through the canyon, you could probably see the lightning coming out of here from Sherman Oaks. But no, I had an idea like, gee, maybe we should like do the weather as a joke on here. You know, and then we have the blue screen. I can do the weather. I'm like, yeah. Wait a second. We've been doing this show for five and a half years. We have not done a lot of what I would say software demonstration, which I think is probably something that people want more than anything else. So we'll try every week to come up with a new concept. This one little thing with the DAW to make sure that you understand what it is this stuff is doing or how to use it more effectively. So we call this new feature... is. And here's what it looks like.
Hey, check out. We got a doll behind us.
We can make that a little bit bigger, Andy. Okay.
He's working on it.
Okay. Close enough. All right. Yes. Now, we have a front here that's occluded over Newfoundland, and no. It's, anyway.
Fine.
I wanted to talk about Twisted Wave. And a question we get a lot is about what's called the zero crossover point.
Zero crossing.
And the zero crossing and what it is. It's actually quite simple. It's a great way. Now, I can't actually play the audio on here because we'll get feedback like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, we'll work that out later.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But for
this demonstration, it doesn't really matter.
I mean, if you can see what's going on here in the waveform, it's going across there. And we want to be able to create silence between the points here.
Mm-hmm.
So what... this actually works pretty good. That's actually kind of cool.
It works lovely.
All right. So I will expand this out because actually expanding it is the real secret here. Because if you look really, really tight, and hopefully this comes across on there, you should see a bunch of little lines. And if you can't, then you're not looking close enough.
Do you ever zoom vertical? Sometimes it's easier to see it too.
Zoom vertical. Where's the zoom vertical?
If you click and drag on that magnifying glass vertically,
yeah,
it'll zoom vertically.
Oh, there we go. Look at that.
Sometimes that helps to expose what we're looking for.
What we're looking for is these little gaps here. Now, maybe you can see them. Maybe you can't on the screen here. But what they are is there's little separations, and if there's no line there, mm-hmm. if you don't actually see a line, you can actually edit from that spot and go right up to the edge of the next waveform
mm-hmm.
right there, as you can see.
Yeah.
And as long as we have a surprise guest in here, and as long as you go to that point right there and you hit silence,
mm-hmm.
you will create an entire clear area there.
Uh-huh.
And it will be totally seamless. Mm-hmm. There will be no click there.
Mm-hmm.
So the real key here is to zoom in real, real tight
mm-hmm.
and make sure that it works like that. And that's mm-hmm. what a crossover point is. Yeah, Twisted Wave.
Yeah. I have another way to demonstrate it too.
Go for
it. Another little illustration. I do this, it doesn't make a good edit, but it's just to illustrate mm-hmm. what this zero point is. So if you look at a section of waveform where you get a lot of, sorry, your zoom's the reverse of mine, so I'm a little disoriented. There we go. So if you're looking at the wave here, you see it traveling up and down, up and down. The zero crossing point is where it crosses that blue line. And I'm realizing the mouse, oh, there's the mouse.
Yeah.
Where it crosses the zero, the blue line is that zero crossing point. So if you were to make an edit that goes from here to here,
bump,
you will have a click. Yeah, which what if we delete that, because zero crossing is probably turned off right now. If I delete this, you'll see there's a discontinuity. That's called a discontinuity right
That's
there.
That's pretty discontinuous.
Yeah, that's going to come across as a loud click.
Right? Very loud click. Yeah.
Or again, bump. This is all
and
about
can, and you
illustration.
Can see what it does. I mean, it actually
distorts the waveform. Let's go back over here.
There you go.
You can see how it really jacks up the waveform big time when you make a cut like that. So what zero crossing can also help you do is make a good selection without having to zoom in this close to be sure that the two waveforms will fit together.
Right.
So you can go to make sure that you have auto extend to zero crossing turned on under select. And if you do this, if you make a selection like this, watch what happens when you let go of the mouse. You see how you see how it popped out?
Yeah.
So the thing that's handy about this is you don't have to always zoom all the way in when you make a selection. You can be a little bit further out and let Twist-A-Wave control the length of the selection. Now you're probably thinking, oh my God, I didn't want to select that much time. Like that's a whole lot of time. That's actually 5/1000ths of a second.
That's all.
It's a very, very small
hardly
amount
noticeable.
Of time. So if you were to delete that piece of audio, you'll see that the two waveforms will then flow back together smoothly again, like that.
It's magic.
It's cool, man.
It's absolute magic.
Like on Pro Tools, they don't have a feature like that. All you can do on Pro Tools is do something called a batch crossfade or something.
Right.
And you have to select all of the crossfade points and then say, hey, crossfade all this stuff so there's no clicks. It's clunky. This software just does it automatically.
So it's
really handy.
DAW-View 2016, kids.
We'll do some more of these.
Absolutely.
We might even prepare some.
We might actually rehearse something. But that was off the cuff and in your face. We'll be right back with Christy Bowen's coming up.
That's right.
We're going to talk about video production in just a couple of minutes. So we'll go take a break and we'll be right back after this message.
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that... VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on VOBS.us.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Last week we had a great guest on. Well, 2 weeks ago. We took Labor Day off. But we had David H. Lawrence, the 17th, with us here at VoiceOver Body Shop. And we were talking about Rehearsal.pro, or Rehearsal Pro, which is an app for your iPhone, which works fabulous for learning your lines if you're an actor. But it also has some great features for us voice actors, because you can record your auditions there and send them anywhere from this app.
Yep.
Great app to have. And the fact is it must work well, because the guys at Apple took one look at it and went, yeah, okay. And it was on there.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is go over to the Apple Store or the Apple App Store.
Right.
And you can get the app. Or it comes, you go over to their website, which is rehearsal.pro. He'd kill me if I'd lost that one. But it's, and check it out and see all the features that this great app has if you're a voice actor. And if you are a voice actor, you're in the right place watching VoiceOver Body Shop. But if you need an app that's going to help you learn your lines as an actor, or if you're on screen, you're doing on-cam stuff, it's great for learning your lines and making sure, even if you're doing just voiceover, learning the lines beforehand. So you've got a session coming up. It might be a really good thing to have to try and memorize it. And then you're acting, not reading.
That's what they call it, working off book.
Exactly. Right? Or off, not you're in most cases, off page. Yeah. But anyway, go over to rehearsal.pro and pick up the Rehearsal Pro app.
Give it a shot.
Yeah. All right.
It's worth every penny if you're really serious about acting and you really want to get take it to the next level.
The next level. Not here.
I know I
here.
Say that a lot.
You're going to be above the Hollywood sign.
But it's all about leveling up.
That's right. All right. Christy Bowen will be right here in just a second.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about you.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We pick the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Time for our guest, a young lady that I've known for a long time and done a lot of interesting work with. We've seen each other at a lot of conferences. We were just at FAFCON.
I know, but you guys get around to the conferences.
Oh, we do. And their conferences are fun. But joining us from Nashville, Tennessee, is a voice actor and video producer, Christy Bowen.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the show, finally.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Now, you're in Nashville, Tennessee. That's like dead center of Tennessee, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And so it's a fascinating city. I drove through it once, and it just went on and on and on and on. And you're out in the cornfield.
Sprawls a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yes. But anyway.
Thanks, Nashville.
Been there your whole life?
Oh, no, no, no.
Where are you from originally?
Born in North Carolina, Florida, Texas, or Houston, to Tennessee, back to Texas, back to Florida, then back to Tennessee.
So what you just said in a nutshell is you love to humidity. Move. You like, you like humidity. That's about all.
All sorts of places.
All I heard was humidity, humidity, humidity.
Humidity and more humidity. Humidity. Yeah, I'm a Southern girl. With the curly hair, the humidity is just lovely. Yeah.
Yes. Now, you're currently a voice actor, but you also are a video producer, and you've won 9 Telly Awards and a regional Emmy, working for a company for a couple of years. Tell us about your life as a first. How'd you get into voice acting?
Yeah, which was first, video producing?
Which came first, the video acting or the video producing or the acting?
Well, I started out in radio in college. We had college radio, but everyone thinks it's small time. We were a 100,000-watt commercial FM station, and wow. I was a DJ. But honestly, I didn't like that as much as I like being the assistant production coordinator, and got moved up to being a production production director. And I loved writing, producing, and voicing the radio spots. And then when I graduated college, during my junior, senior year of college, between there, I came here to Nashville and did an internship at the cable company. And so when I graduated, got a full-time job with them and added the video component to what I had been doing before, because we would go out and shoot the local spots. And then I would edit those, this time video and audio. I would still do a lot of the voiceovers for those local spots. And then from there, decided to go freelance when that job kind of went away because the cable company got bought. And just went into feature film and video production and worked my way up doing a few things. Took a break from VO for a while just because I concentrated on the actual video aspect of that job. And then got back into it about maybe 8 years ago, I guess, kind of more, you know, with a concentration. Because the company I worked for 12 years was a film house, and they started out being the company that did TV spots for radio stations. So they did radio advertising, which is always hard to say, but all they had the birthday game. So any radio station that wanted to put on a commercial with, you know, the $1 million birthday game, you know, you could be a winner if you listen at 7:20 in the morning. Your birthday's in this envelope kind of thing. Right. So did that for a few years, but then they took on a government contract with the Department of Defense. And so I became a production coordinator and then moved up to producing within the company for that Department of Defense contract. This is the short clipped version of what we did.
Okay.
We produced public service announcements for the military overseas stationed at bases outside the United States and on ships at sea. So it was lovingly called AFRTS or AFN, American Forces Network Television, which is basically they had television with no commercial content because the government's not allowed to use commercial content. To replace that commercial time, they made public service announcements. And that's what I won the 9 tellies for. There were a variety of things, some stuff I shot, some things that I produced when I moved into the creative producer role. I was in charge of all the stock footage and stock photography elements for our spots. So if anything needed any historical elements, I've been to the National Archives. Another piece of interesting trivia, I have seen every single frame of footage the United States owns from World War One.
From World War One.
Oh, World War One.
Wow.
It was not that much, obviously, because otherwise I couldn't have seen it all. I mean, it was World War One. But you know, so I did a lot of historic stock footage stuff, but also modern, you know, and current stock footage and things. So that kind of became my specialty, and that's where a lot of my producing background came from. Of course, I also produced live action things, you know, hiring crew, going on location, you know, working local locations, that type of thing. So that's kind of where my video producing comes from, my experience with that.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of time in edit bays and post-production.
Yes, in humid places.
In humid places, yes.
Now, a lot of us have shot video. I've shot video. George, you shoot video every week.
Since I was a young teenager.
Yeah. Like on VHS?
Yep.
Oh, wow. But we've all shot some video. Maybe you do it on your iPhone now.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the same as producing a video. I mean, I've produced a couple of things and you produce things, but we do it pretty much on our own. Producing is a whole nother ball game, isn't it?
It is. And there's different levels of producing. And now it's kind of, you know, things are getting smaller because the amount of people you need to produce something, you know, effectively in a lot of cases has gotten smaller. But a producer is basically in charge of the money. They are, other than the client, they are the top. They are the, you know, the top of the food chain. They're the ones who, you know, are basically hiring everybody. They basically deal with the creative vision. They work with the director to make sure the creative vision happens. They are in charge of the crew, basically hiring the crew. They make the important decisions. Sometimes the director will do some of those things, or they will, you know, they work in concert with each other. But the producer is the one who basically has their hand in all of it. They're the one who deals with the client more, while the director goes off and deals with the technical aspects of how they're going to actually achieve whatever, you know, video shoot needs to happen and all the equipment and that kind of thing, and dealing with certain crew members.
Yeah. So actually, and probably keeping the client away from the director.
Yeah.
Yes, in many cases, yes, they do. Yeah, they have to. They're the buffer. But they also, they deal with all the problems.
Right.
They deal with the money. You know, they construct the budget. Many times they construct the budget. They also are in charge of the budget. So everything kind of falls to the producer in the end. You know, if something goes wrong, they're the one who has to answer for it. Because no matter what, you know, you might want to, as the producer, been there, done this, might want to say, well, the director did X, Y, and Z, but still it doesn't matter because you are still one of the people that, you know, has to answer to the client and answer for your budget.
Right.
So that's kind of the difference. And, you know, you can still produce a video. It just means you're getting all of the elements together. You're making sure everyone is where they need to be. You're hot. You have everyone you need to make it happen. That everybody on your crew is happy because they have what they need. And if they can't be happy, you find ways to work with everyone. It's a big balancing act. It's a lot of work, but it also is great when you see something that you've worked so hard for and your creative vision matched with other people's creative vision all turn into a product that you can be very proud of.
Yeah. And it's a team effort, and you're sort of like the captain of the team or the captain of the ship, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. You can't produce video on your own. I mean, you can, like I said, you can shoot it, but when you suddenly realize you can't be the audio guy, the talent, the camera person, and the lighting person all at the same time, right?
Not the same time. You can't do them all well at the same time either.
No.
You have other people helping you with all that, which is why you hire good people. And, you know, when it comes to using that experience that I had as a producer and how I translate that into my voiceover career, I understand sometimes I will ask certain questions and all of a sudden the people on the other end of the email or phone call are like, oh, wait a minute, she's asking a question from a different perspective versus just the usual, do you want that faster? Do you want it slower? Do you want a wave? Do you want, you know, I'm asking questions because they kind of all of a sudden get that I get what their world is. Sometimes I use that to my advantage because then we can talk on a different level, not just talent to producer or director. It's like, no, I understand. I feel your pain in certain circumstances. I will feel their pain of what they have to go through to get what they need. And that, you know, sometimes that, I don't know if it's an advantage, but it's certainly something that, you know, I try to utilize if and when I need to in a, you know, in my voiceover career.
Right. Now, there's a lot of different types of video. And of course, there's lots of different stuff that we narrate as voice actors, you know, from industrials to, you know, documentaries and things like that. What are some of the different types of things that you've worked on that are really different types of projects? And what's the difference in the approach to them?
When it comes to things like animations, explainer videos, that type of thing, anything that requires non-human acting, you know, stuff that's not going to be stock footage or live shot, if it's all created in a computer with editors and graphic designers and graphic artists and graphic effects people, that is always something that is going to take a lot more time and a lot more money, believe it or not. And it's something as a voice actor you have to consider because hopefully they're bringing you in early. So they're getting their timing to our voice. A lot of times they'll do scratch tracks and think they're doing great because that's going to help them with their timing. And then they get a professional and they find out that their scratch track was a little off. And then it costs them a lot more time and a lot more money because it's not like you can, you know, if you shoot something live action, you most likely have multiple takes or more footage. If it's a graphic element like an explainer video or whatever, they have to create that from scratch. And to, you know, render files is just, it takes forever and it's computer time and it's computing. And, you know, of course, when you're on the shoot, you have to get, you know, everything on a shoot and you only have what you have to work with. So if something does happen, you know, that's what you've got. You have to make it work. You can always go back in post and graph, you know, in explainer videos and animation and add more. It just costs more money. So those are kind of some differences there to think about for us as voice actors. We have to think about the way that our timings. So if they give us very specific timings, there's a reason they give them to us.
Oh,
if
absolutely.
They don't give you, you know, a video to show you beforehand, if they tell you they need it in 4 seconds, they need it in four. If you can't do it, you can try to talk to them, but there's a reason that that's like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes they like to put the cart before the horse when it comes to documentaries and other things. There's always a little more leeway there because they can add a shot, lengthen a shot, take something away to make the voice work with it. different aspects of different, I'm trying to think of something that unique that I've done that has been, or that I've worked on. I've worked on a couple of movies, feature films that had, you know, some minor voice acting things to it. And it was always good that they got the voiceover first to play on set. They would pipe it through speakers so that the other actors could react to that voice actor. So I always thought I loved the fact that they contacted the voice actor early on in their process, because what that did was then give the other actors something to work off of versus a scratch track. They actually had the real voiceover. Sometimes they would have to go back and redo that voiceover or add a line here and there. But in general, that was always nice. You know, now I appreciated that once I became a voice actor, looking back on those experiences going, oh yeah, they did that in the right order or what I would consider the right order, you know? So,
yeah. So as a producer, it's important to make sure that when you're communicating with talent that you've got what they need. Now, a lot of times, you know, I love this because it probably shows you're not working with a producer. You're probably working with somebody who likes to think they're a producer, and they'll send you a video and say, can you, match the timings on this? And you're like, for the budget you've given, maybe not, you know, and yeah. You're out there with a stopwatch and you're like, okay, all right. And they're like, well, you can time these, can't you? Yeah.
But that's not really my job. That's your job.
That's right. Well, sometimes they forget.
Yes, they do.
It's important that those timings are there, like you said, and making sure that, there is good communication. So if somebody's experienced at doing video, like I have a lot of experience working on video and I get a lot of this kind of stuff, is it appropriate? I guess you sort of have to gauge this to really approach the producer or whoever it is you're working with, who's probably the producer's assistant to the assistant of the assistant producer, saying, can I change this? This isn't going to work that well. Or, you know, within reason, what are the boundaries?
As a voice actor,
what are really the boundaries that you really need to watch when you're working with a producer? There's more into this that I want to talk about, but give us your thoughts on that.
Well, short-wise, a lot of times you're probably working with the editor who is, you know, if somebody says, yeah, can you match the timings? There's a good chance it might be the person in post-production.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the producer. Sometimes that's the director. Sometimes that's, you know, the editor. And, you know, the editor thinks that by asking that, it's making their life simpler. But that's their job. I mean, honestly, that's their job to match the timing. I mean, we should deliver a file to them and then they should be able to cut it up. That's their job. They edit audio and video all day long. Now, yes, it's nice for them to say we'd like it to be as close as possible. But if you can't get it exactly right, it's their job to make that work. And so sometimes, depending on, you know, how they approach you, it is okay to say, can you provide a script with timings for me? If not, and depending on how long it is and how big of a project it is, it would not be inappropriate to say, this is going to take me X number of minutes or X number of hours to do extra additional. And therefore, I have an additional fee for that. Because you then do have to go through and write your timings down. And depending on how they send you the video, you may not have the ability to see the time code or, you know, especially if they don't send you a video with time code. If they gave you a video with, you know, a time code burn in, that's great. You can look at the numbers, write it down, and do your thing. But if they don't give you that and you can't get exactly, then, you know, this clip is 3 seconds, the next clip is 7 seconds and whatever, and write it on your script, then that takes time. We get paid for our time. They should be doing that because that's their job. So asking for more money in that situation is not, I don't think, a bad thing. I've done it before.
Yeah.
I've come back to them and say, I'm sorry, this is something that's going to require, you know, X amount of time. If you want me to time it to the video, that costs more.
Right.
And, you know, doing it in a very nice way, but they should understand if they're in a hurry, which a lot of times they are, then you charge them more. That was their fault for not getting you a script with the timings. Because again, that's their job. They should know that.
Right. And here's what I use when doing that. It's the stopwatch on my iPhone to make sure that you get the timings right on there.
Yeah. And that works. I mean, it does work. I mean, you know, you can do it that way. I mean, there's always ways to do anything, but it just depends on, you know, how accurate they need it. If they need it like right down to that second, you know, it depends on, again, what format they send you the video in and how you can, you know, time it. But yeah, I mean, it's, and sometimes I've gotten stuff that they don't give me a scratch track. So I'm not sure where, you know, where they're changing scenes. They just give, you know, and sometimes you also don't get a left side of the script. If you don't have the left side and all you give is the right side, which is the audio side, you know, if all they're giving you is the right side of the script and not the left side, then how do you know where it's supposed to match up?
Right.
So you're saying that we're like asking too much when we ask our fans to submit their openers for the show and we don't give them anything to go on and we say you have to match the timing perfectly so that we don't have to edit anything and we can take your audio file, drop it into the video, export it, and throw it on the beginning of the show. We're asking a little bit too much of the voice actors, basically.
For you, George, no.
And there's no extra money in it because we ain't paying you anyway.
That's right.
So no wonder we don't get a lot of submissions.
Money's not even in the discussion. Heck no, go for it. But, you know, no, I mean, no, seriously, for professional-wise, though, that really is something they should be doing for you.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
They have to have that broken down. They really should have that broken down. I mean, they've got to know for their own timing purposes, especially if they're going to have any other additional elements that have to be done at a later point. A lot of times you'll get videos that are rough with placeholder graphics or, you know, whatever, because those graphics are still being created. Because what happens is, and another thing for voice actors to understand about production, there are lots of plates spinning in the air at all time. A lot of times you have to look at your calendar, figure out what needs to be done. If it's a live action shoot, certain things have to be shot first. But at the same time, backgrounds have to be created or graphics have to be being done. Visual effects have to be being worked on while you're shooting or before shooting so that you can utilize those elements while you're shooting. Then the voiceover has to be done at a certain point. And all those things have to be coming together at the same time or, you know, one right after another so that when you get into the post-production aspect of things, which is where we really come in more than anything else. So that way, when you get to the post-production aspect, they have all of the elements they need to create their product. Sometimes they have to wait on things because they take a while or things change. Another example for kind of what you said asked before, Dan, if you're shooting interviews, documentary style, that kind of thing, sometimes you don't get what you think you got in the interview, or people will say certain things at the time you're on the set. You're like, oh, they said it was great. But something happens camera-wise. It's not lit right. They're off camera. Something just doesn't work. So you have to get into the edit bay, string that together, figure out what you've got. And sometimes you have holes in your story. And the only way to tell the story is at the last minute to add a voiceover, which then they have to write the script, get it approved, and then they hire us, and that's when they come at us with, you know, their hair flaming on fire, going, oh my gosh, help, we need this now. We're supposed to deliver to the client in 3 hours, you know, because it's something that happened. And so that happens to everybody, you know, producers as well. Sometimes they can't plan for a voiceover they need.
Yep.
Sometimes there are those emergency situations.
And then the sound guy has to deal with it after you.
That's right.
Exactly. See, that's the last thing in the step is the audio post-production and the sweetening phase that a lot of us don't know about. After they get a locked picture, which means that the video and the audio, you know, all the video is complete. All the audio from the voice actor from on set, you know, from on camera, whatever it is, the music, everything else. That whole layer then goes to the post-production audio post-production or sweetening. It's called sweetening process. And that's a whole different element. Then it has to come back. And then if there are changes, some of that has to be all done again. You know, some of the audio, the edit, the video, it has to be re-edited. Sometimes they come back to the voice actor and have to get, you know, a line or two here and there. And all of that has to kind of happen within a certain time frame for a lot of people. And they're on strict timelines and budgets. And so that's something to consider. So sometimes when they say they need it now, they really do. And it's no one's fault. It just happens, you know?
Yep. So. Sounds like the 5 minutes before our show every week. You know,
Exactly. You're running down your checklist. What needs to happen now and when?
Yes. And like, oh, let's add a whole new element tonight. That'll be be easy to do. All right. So you hire voice actors, and because we are, as you said, we're a vital element part of the video production process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're hiring, what's the process? I mean, we know that, you know, you either go on to a pay to play or you find people. What's your process for finding voice talent?
I haven't had to hire many lately. And honestly, when I was producing for the government contract, we had an audio producer on staff, and that was his job. That's all he did all day. He hired the TV voice actors. He was also the radio producer. So he did all the radio spots as well as the TV audio spots. But as the producer, he would send out, you know, I would send him the scripts. He would then send out auditions to agents and then get those auditions back. He would send all of the auditions to me. I would then listen to all of them, pick my top 10, and then we would, you know, if it was male and female, whatever, then we would send those to the client. Then the client would then choose. So that's kind of similar how I still work, because that's just how I worked for 12 years. But, I send out the script. I listen to all the auditions, and I narrow it down. And then if there's an end client from that, then of course I send them my top picks. I will send them everything, because I don't feel that if it's not hundreds and hundreds, you know, if I've narrowed it, you know, if I've only gotten a few auditions, and then I will give them my top picks and why, you know, I think this person interpreted the script the right way, or I think this person has a unique sound for this. Or this person I know has great delivery and wonderful sound quality and can get you what you need quickly because I know you're on a deadline, whatever. I will send those notes to the end client, who then ultimately chooses. If it's me choosing, then it's who I think is going to fit best for the project.
Right. Do producers have their favorites? Is it important to have a good relationship with a producer, or, you know,
yes,
or do a lot just rely on, well, I'll just toss it to the ether and hopefully somebody will come out? Or is it more important that a producer have a stable of good people?
Yeah, they don't want to have to go out and mine for new talent every single freaking time, right? I mean, don't they eventually start to get a few favorites that make it easier?
They do. And it's funny, before I came on the show, I sent out an email to like 10 or 12 of my favorite, you know, producers, editors, you know, that kind of folks, just ask that question. And some of them still like using, and this is funny because three of them said this, they love Voice 123 and they love Voice 123 system because and this is not an endorsement or anything. I found it funny. Three of the people that responded to me all said they love using Voice 123, mainly because they like the system to be able to go through, make comments, and send it to their client who can listen to everybody. And they just like that system. They thought it was easy. But they also, and all three of them said the exact same thing again, they also have their stable of talent that they go to on a regular basis. Actually, everybody I talk to, with the exception of two editors, because they said they don't get to choose very often. they have a roster of people they've worked with before, and they love working with people they've worked with before, and they knock them off the list. It's like, I'm sending it to these people, because they have their group. That's who they send it to every time. And so there's a little bit of both. I mean, so, you know, finding a good producer that you really like to work with or that you've worked with in the past and cultivating that relationship is really the key.
Absolutely. All right. Our guest is Christy Bowen, joining us from Nashville, Tennessee, talking about the video production process and how we as voice actors fit into that process. If you've got a question for Christy, throw it in the chat room. And I know Antony is there in Kalamazoo, Michigan, making sure that those questions get to us so we can ask Christy, who's in Nashville. It's like this triangular trade that we have going on. Anyway, we'll be right back with Christy Bowen and more questions right after this.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
You know, somebody who's been with us a long time.
Since the beginning of time.
Since the beginning of time. And he will, he may not admit it, but he's been, and actually he will be a guest on our show in a couple of weeks too.
Yes.
Harlan Hogan.
That's right.
And his company, VoiceOver Essentials, has been supporting our show for 5.5, actually it's like 5.75 years.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes on and on.
Yeah.
He saw early on that we had something that would help his business because we're talking directly to his people. And we wanted him as a sponsor because the stuff that he has is the best stuff there is if you are in voiceover and you need voiceover, let's call it stuff.
Stuff is the right word.
I think that because it covers the gamut of everything that's out there in the voiceover world.
Accessories.
Books. Equipment. Books. Great books, by the way. He's got all the top titles there. If you like to read about voiceover and that helps you up your game, VoiceOver Essentials is the place to go. If you need a microphone, he's got the VO1A, which is right over there. You're not using it this week. You're using some really expensive mic this week.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, he's got the VO1A, the Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones, which are just magnificent headphones. There's the VO1A.
You see it every single week except this week.
We're trying something new, but we'll probably go back to it next week because it's an outstanding microphone. Of course, other accessories, different types of equipment, the boom jock, which I mention every time because it's just such a unique product.
Adjustable boom strap.
The adjustable boom strap, the ABS, which will hold your boom up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, hey, you got a heavy microphone, it's going to get knocked
over.
All
the stuff on the site is like, it's cherry-picked for voice acting.
Absolutely.
And it's all high-value stuff, too. It's not a lot of, like, pick out the thing with the highest profit margin, so I'll sell that. It's the stuff is really great value. Like, if he finds a shock mount for a shotgun mic, for example, that's half the price of the other guy's. He'll put that on his website.
Right.
You know, so there's great deals on there.
Yeah. So go over to voiceoveressentials.com, and you can find it by just going down to the bottom of the page because you're watching us on our VOBS.TV webpage. You go down, and you will see the picture of Harlan Hogan talking into his Portabooth Pro, and click on that, and that'll take you right to his website, and he'll know that we sent you, which is important. But also, we have to remind you that he now accepts all credit cards, too.
All of them?
All credit cards. It now accepts all credit cards and PayPal.
That's what it says right there.
It says if it's in black and white, it has to be true. So go over to voiceoveressentials.com and buy everything he has. We'll be right back after this.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some voiceover with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
And we are back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Christy Bowen joining us from Nashville, Tennessee tonight, talking about the video production process. And we have a pile of questions from our amazing chat room audience. Starting off with Nathan Cundiff.
That's right.
Question, what do you use for video editing?
Yeah, are you still actually cutting video ever?
Like with a razor blade and a grease pencil? And
no, never did that. Actually, I was never an editor. You know, I sat in the room with the editor. I saw him punch 1,000 buttons, that's why when I started doing audio editing, it was easy to translate because I got to watch them do it so much. I actually have been cutting a few small things lately. And honestly, and thank you, Dan Leonard, I use ScreenFlow.
Yes.
I know you're going to be crazy, but it's designed for something else, but just for simple, quick things, I use ScreenFlow. I know that's crazy. I've got Premiere.
Not crazy at all.
But I love ScreenFlow. It's great.
So, I think of ScreenFlow as the twisted wave of video editors.
Yes.
It really is. It's easy, simple, gets it done.
Lean and mean.
Yeah.
Lean and mean and not expensive.
Not expensive. You know, yep. Check that great. One out. They now owe us a, yep. a fortune, too.
Anthony.
Yes. Anthony, great question.
Yeah. Like many full-time VO folks, I'm sure you get contacted by people wanting to get into voice acting frequently. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest mistake you see new people make when approaching a video producer / production company? And what's the best way to do that?
Appearing like a professional. You're contacting a professional company, so you need to put your best professional foot forward. Good demos, great demos. Having all the information about who you are, but it needs to be short. Producers don't have a lot of time, but you need to give them enough information about who you are and a little bit about your personality so that they want to work with you. Letting them know your studio capabilities without getting into the, really, I've got this and that and the other. Just the fact that
they don't care.
I have a Mogami mic cable.
Yeah, you don't need that. You have a professional setup. If you have an isolation booth or, some kind of sound booth, whatever you want to call it, that you have a professional setup. Avoid the word home. Just say you've got a professional setup.
Professional studio. Right.
You could go to a local studio if need be. Whatever, let them know what kind of connectivity you've got, ISDN, Source Connect, IPDTL, whatever, so that they know that you are capable of connecting with them, even if you can't connect in person because you're not in their local area. And just appearing like a professional. Treat them like one, and then they're going to treat you like one. I hope that's okay. I have enough
totally
answer
makes
for
sense.
You.
No, right on the money.
Yeah. Shelly Avellino, we got the entire staff in the chat room tonight.
Yes.
All right. What percentage of video production do you do as a voice actor? You personally, I think.
It's been a while. I kind of flow in and out of it. I'll have times where I do a lot of video production and I kind of do a little bit of voice acting on the side. And then for the last 2 years, it's been full on audio all the time. And I've only done a few video things. I did the Wovo, the Wovo video. I've done a couple of local things here for local groups and stuff that I'm involved with, but I haven't pursued it as much lately as I want to. But I'd say right now it's only about 15% of what I do. But I'd like it to kind of be more.
Yeah,
get back into it again. I miss it.
Yeah, well, it's you may miss it, but it sounds like it was a full day.
Yes.
Variety is the spice.
Yes.
Karen O'Brien asks, how many words per second is reasonable for video narration? That's a pretty
specific question.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm not sure. I will tell you that it costs a lot of money to produce. When you're talking about animation and of any form or visual effects, every second costs a lot of money depending on the kind of video you're actually producing, the kind of animation it takes. So that cost could actually be really high. You'd be surprised.
Mm.
Now for voice, I don't know how much you want to charge. I mean, most people charge per minute versus second, but I mean, it can be, I'm not really sure of the current numbers because, the thing is that changes so quickly. If we think things change in the voiceover world, imagine what it's like in the video world with all of the elements that are out there. It takes so many servers. It takes so much time. There's so many different video editing elements in the visual effects and graphics area that are changing all the time. And they cost a lot of money to develop. So they cost a lot of money to buy. And then therefore, those people pass that on to their clients who then up the budgets. And then so sometimes they want to pay us less because they're paying more for the video aspect.
Right.
So sometimes that number, it's a sliding scale depending on the kind of video you're producing. I mean, it really does. Sorry, I don't have a number for you.
No, sure.
That's okay. Question from D. That's all I got is the letter D. She says, or he says, or whatever. What is the best way for someone that mainly works in commercial and imaging to go about procuring work in the e-learning sector? And most importantly, chomp chomp.
Go Gators.
Okay.
Now we know what that means.
Now we know what it means. Okay.
Yeah. e-learning. It's like anything. It's just another aspect. How did you go about finding your commercial and imaging clients. You probably went through agents for a lot of that. When it comes to e-learning, agents are not used as often. You know, they do get that work, but that's really, that's a self-marketing area of voiceover. You have to be really good at self-marketing yourself for e-learning. I really think that's the best way. Unlike, you know, commercials tend to live in the agent world a lot. Self-marketing is really how to do it. You know, Google's your best friend. There are so many e-learning companies out there that, you know, many of us that are in the chat room tonight and watching this tonight are, you know, we're all clients of those people. But self-marketing for e-learning is definitely the way to go. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it.
Now, as a producer, though, did you get a lot of marketing calls from voice actors?
Not many. No, because again, when I was producing, that was somebody else's job. I mean, you know, I just had to, you know, the audio producer was the one who actually sent out the auditions, and then he only used agents. And the way our contract worked, we had to use LA-based agents, and we only used the top. We, you know, let me put it this way. I'm going to name about five people here, and these were the people that we regularly used on almost every spot we did. Jim Cummings, Mark Hamill, Carrie Tombazian, Melissa Disney, and Maurice LaMarche.
Oh, okay.
That's who we were using.
Nobody's
on a regular basis.
Yeah, so B-listers.
We were using the A-listers a lot. So I didn't have it. You know, I didn't have to do that myself when I was producing. Now, when I'm doing it now, although I don't produce a lot of e-learning, I'm an e-learning voice talent, but I don't produce any e-learning. So I'm not sure really how to answer that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, it's okay. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have
answers. Yeah.
Knowing that you don't have the answer, sometimes is the right answer.
Yeah.
Reen Vogel says, "Hey, Christy, what are one or two things you wish you knew earlier in your career that you learned much later?"
If it's the voiceover career,
Let's assume voiceover career in this case.
Voice, because if it's the other, boy, I can tell you a whole bunch of stuff. learning in the voiceover career.
As it relates to video.
Yeah, as it relates to video. Oh, gosh. Reen, you stumped me. I'm trying to think of how to... Okay, tell me the question one more time. Okay.
What are one or two things that you wish you knew earlier on in your career that you learned a lot later? Like if you could have told your 10-year-ago self, hey, do this and this will save you a hell of a lot of time or frustration, something like that.
Finding groups that will help you answer questions and being in a secure group of voiceover friends, finding that early on in your career, like VOBS or EWABS as it was, you know, back then, or, you know, any of the Facebook groups or whatever, starting that early on in the process. I wish I had done that more. I did a lot of research, but I didn't join those groups early on. And I think it would have helped me answer a lot more of the questions I had. That's one thing. Another thing is I wish I had joined workout groups to, you know, interact with people and get feedback more often than just from a coach. I wish I had joined more workout groups earlier on.
Just like our news story at the beginning of the show.
Form
your own group if you're in a locale that doesn't have one. It's always important. We started one when I was in Buffalo. We called it Herd Around Buffalo.
All right. I love that.
Yes. And so people in that one too.
There are many people in the chat room tonight from Tennessee Voiceover Exchange that I and another friend, you know, Chris Tom, started. So yeah, we started our own mainly because that was early on in my career, Reen. I realized that those are the things I didn't have, and I went, I got to solve this problem. And we started Tennessee Voiceover Exchange.
Excellent.
Let's
see here. Shelly Avellino asks, we sort of answered this, but we'll take it a bit further. Do you source your voiceover talent that you know and trust? Or do you go to a website such as, say, voiceover.biz?
A lot of times I will get calls from, you know, clients and other people to say, you know, hey, former clients or, you know, former producer friends or, you know, current producer friends of mine will say, hey, you know, we can't use you on this, but we trust you. You're our source. Who would you recommend? And I use a lot of people that I know. I go there first. Voiceover.biz is always my second. And third, sometimes I will suggest if they need just a huge wide variety of people, they want a lot of talent, I will suggest pay to plays, although that's always my last. You know, so in order, I recommend people I know, and then I go to voiceover.biz, and then I go to other pay to plays, and I will list a few in there depending on what kind they're wanting and where the client is, you know, which one I think might work the best.
Mm-hmm. Well, another fellow talent from Nashville,
yeah,
Joe Lesh asks,
yeah,
how many auditions did you do? This might be hard to remember, but how many auditions did you do before you landed your first VO job? Did you toil for quite a while, or did you get lucky early on?
I think Joe knows the answer to this, so I'll go ahead and tell this story. I launched my website the same day I joined a couple of pay-to-plays, the early on, the big two. I did 3 auditions in one day sitting in my office at Film House because I was still full-time employed at that point. The third audition I did was for L'Oreal, and I booked it.
No wonder he asked this question, because that's really impressive.
Absolutely.
So that's a good start.
That was the third audition I did, and I did all 3 of those in one day, sitting there, and I was completely flabbergasted and shocked. I didn't even really have my home studio set up, and I kind of panicked, and I asked the post-production audio guys that I worked with at Film House, and I said, help, guys, I don't know what to do. They're like, just come upstairs. We'll record you.
Nice.
That helps.
It helps to have friends, resources.
In the right place. Yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
It does.
Bill Russell asks, how did you keep up with your day-to-day schedule? Did you use a software, or did you use a dry erase board? I remember producing a talk show, and the dry erase board was pretty much how you had to do it back then.
Yeah, I'm a highly organized person, and but I would get overwhelmed. I mean, at times I was producing 50 spots at one time. I would produce, now most of those were stock footage and stock elements, but each of those had 3 pieces of footage I was required per spot to do. So I had 150 elements at one time I was doing. I had a dry erase board. I had a notebook. Literally, my notebooks were 3-inch thick. And I just had to do a variety of things, lists, reminders on things. But I was pretty organized. But dry erase boards definitely were a lot of what I used. I was a script supervisor for a number of years before I got into the producing I did, I did freelance script supervising, and I did a video game. I did 2 video games, actually. They were live action shot video games, and to keep things organized, we had a dry erase board because there were lots of options. There was, if they answer A, B, C, or D, and then that led back to A could lead to C, which could lead back to B. We literally had to draw it out on a dry erase board with all the options.
It wasn't Phantasmagoria, was it?
No, oh, okay. Dark Side of the Moon and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea South Peak Interactive. So they're really old now.
Cool.
But dry erase boards that was the best way. You're right. That was a very good way to keep up with everything.
I know they still use them at hospitals.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure that so-and-so in room number so-and-so, make sure you give them the right medication. Anthony asks, given the high cost of producing a video, why do so many producers fail to factor in voiceover, treating it as almost an afterthought?
Then they're not a very good producer, because when you do a line item budget, normally in any kind of template line item budget, voiceover is always there. You're not always using it, depending on what you're doing, but you got to factor that in early on. Now, sometimes, like I mentioned before, if it's something that happens because you weren't planning on it, your story didn't come together, or maybe you thought your actor on set could deliver the voiceover, and for whatever reason, you can't use that, and all of a sudden, you then have to have a voiceover that was unexpected, well, then, they've got to find a way to pay for that. And if it's not already in the budget that's been approved, they got to either rob Peter to pay Paul, or they just don't have it. So that sometimes happens. That should be rare, and you always have a contingency. There's always overages. There has never been a production on this planet that hasn't gone over budget, I'm sorry, or that doesn't have a contingency built in. Because life happens. Stuff happens.
Yep.
So, they really should know that there's a voiceover coming and budget for it. If they don't budget appropriately, that is just means they're not a good producer. I'm sorry to say.
Right. Or they're using really their secretary.
If you realize that early on in the process of getting booked that they forgot about voiceover, maybe you don't want that job. Yes. Possibly. Yeah. I'm just saying, maybe not.
Yeah, there's the potential that, you know, that, you know, I mean, again, emergencies happen, but, you know, then that's what your contingency's for. Yeah. You know, that's why you have a contingency in a budget.
Okay. One last question here from John Henry Krause. He says, what is a reasonable amount of time? This is a great question. What's a reasonable amount of time to wait to follow up with the producer or production company after sending your demo and personal info for the first time? Is there a right way and a wrong way to ease into that conversation?
Oh, man.
That's a great question. Honestly, you know, everybody is different. I know people who are like, don't bug me for another 6 months. Mm-hmm. I know other people who are like, oh, yeah, man, I get so busy that I forget. And 2 months will go by and I've completely forgotten. And now I need a voice actor. So, you know, I say generally 3 months is a really good benchmark. If they tell you that they're going to put you on their roster or right now they don't have any projects going on, but things are going to get busy for them soon. That's your cue to reply back. Thank you for putting me on your roster and considering me for future work. What would be an appropriate amount of time to follow up with you? Then put the ball in their court because
ask.
Mainly because they do get busy. And all of a sudden, if something happens in their production world and they get crazy, which happens a lot, and a project takes off after they've been waiting forever, because sometimes you sit around and wait and then sometimes you get the green light and you have to go, you know, 0 to 200 miles an hour in a matter of days.
Hurry up and wait, then wait, then hurry up.
Right.
Hurry up, wait, go, hurry up and wait. That's the life of a producer. But if you follow up in the right amount of time, then, you know, you might hit, that email might hit their inbox exactly when they need it. And, you know, they might know that in 3 months, we're going to get funding for our next round of videos. So follow up with me in 3 months. But if they tell you that, then it's the onus is on you. If they say, well, I don't know, you're on our roster, you know, we'll contact you. Well, then you might want to give it 6 months, you know, or longer. But
yeah,
I would
ask. Make like a tick. What I've done in the past is make a calendar in Google Calendar. It's called Tickle.
Oh.
And then you put into the calendar. So if you just contacted somebody, put something in there 3 months from now in the Tickle category. So when you see that name pop up in Tickle, it's time to bug them again.
Right. We used to do that in a life insurance business. It was a one card system and it was the tickler file.
So,
let's see who's available. Well, Christy, it has been an absolute major league pleasure having you with us tonight.
Yeah.
And talking to us about the video production process. But it's just great hanging out with you. And thanks for being on the show tonight.
Thank you guys for having me. It was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
All righty. Well, we'll be back to wrap things up into a nice tight little bow right after this, so don't go away.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon. And the scripts seem a bit dated, too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King. Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
All right. Well, that was a lot of information.
Oh, yeah. No, that was really helpful to hear that perspective, I think.
We don't get that perspective much as voice actors. Yeah. Usually it's like this faceless person at the other end of an email.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to know, you know, what their process is about.
Absolutely.
Well, next week on this very show, we were talking about him. I said, hey, he's going to be on Zoom. Harlan Hogan's going to be here.
You know who else is going to be on Zoom next week?
You.
Me.
You're going to be in Boulder, Colorado, or somewhere.
Somewhere in Colorado.
Yeah. And Harlan's going to be here next week. So if you got some questions for Harlan, because I'm sure you've been saving them up for the last 5 years, about his process and the products he has and about voiceover in general, because he was there at the dawn of voiceover when they used to record it on rocks.
Built the real rocks.
Oh, yeah, yes, absolutely. He was doing the cave paintings with the original voiceover.
Oh, boy.
That's next September 19th.
Never gets old, but Harlan, you do.
Yes. Okay. September 26th, Brian Summer, who does character voices. He's a current voiceover character actor and teaches in San Francisco and online with the GVAA.
Very nice.
Yes. October 3rd.
Hashanah.
It's Rosh Hashanah. I'm not going to do a show that night.
It's like the 10th. It says here we do have Sylvia Villagran.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Sylvia Villagran. And she is a well-known voice.
Yeah. She's one of the founders of the Donald Fontaine Voiceover Lab.
Wow.
I know that because we did that together. But she is a really busy voice actor who does a lot of live announce as well.
Cool.
She did a little one called the DNC.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you heard of it.
All right. Yeah. October 17th, speaking of live announce, Randy Thomas.
Yeah,
she will supposedly definitely be with here. Us. And then on October 24th, we are doing a roundtable of the WovoTech Standards Committee, my hand-picked committee of the top voiceover engineers on the face of God's green earth. You, John McClain, Dog and Pony.
That's right.
Of course, Cliff and Uncle Roy. And
Jordan Reynolds,
and Jordan Reynolds joining us from Denver, Colorado. And so we'll take your tech questions then. You got a whole month to look forward to that one. That will be a great night as well. And then we're going to do something on Halloween.
Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be a toughie because I have a daughter who definitely wants to be taken out for Halloween.
Yeah, so we may just can that night.
We'll see.
All righty. Hopefully November we're going to do Studio Month.
Yes, Studio
Month. We're waiting to see how that one develops.
See how that unfolds.
Yes. Donors of the Week.
Oh, yes, donors. We get them, and they keep coming back, and we really appreciate this.
We really do appreciate that.
Those donations, you know, they're all, it's really about just feeling like you're supporting a grassroots thing here. I mean, we have sponsors, and that's our main way that the show is funded. But these little donations, some of them as small as a dollar a month, they're still really important. I don't care whether it's a dollar or 10, whatever you can afford is wonderful. And we had one that came in for a dollar a month, and this one comes in from, for whatever reasons, is not going to tell me, so I won't read the name. We got donations from Elizabeth Stewart, and that's a monthly donation subscription. Graham Spicer. Thanks, Graham. It's my boss. Brian Roush, donating a dollar. Smart move there, Graham. Eric Aragone, man. If you haven't heard his name in a while, every single episode
week.
He donates to the show. We've had donations coming in from a few others. I'm trying to, for some reason, the way Google Inbox formats these emails, it gets
this
hard
week.
To read sometimes. Joseph Harrison, he's a sustaining member. Wordsworth, that's actually a sponsorship payment. Hey,
right.
Harlan paid his bill. He hasn't figured out how to cancel it. East West Audio Body Shop. We got a donation for Jack from Jack DeGolia. Jack still donates money, even though he helps produce the show.
Yeah.
The show notes. Christy Burns. Holy smokes. There's a lot of them that came in the last few days. Nothing Rhymes with Orange. That's
Bill Lord.
Holy cow. I'm going to keep going because there's more. Mike Martin. Thank you, man. And going back, I think we're almost wrapped around the last week. Cam Cornelius.
Oh, Cam. Speaking of Nashville.
That's right. And Amy Sorensi.
All right. Well, thanks, folks. We really appreciate
it.
Wow. That's how we can bring you things like DawView 2016.
That's right.
All righty. You can buy VOBS logo gear on VOBS TV. There's a link right on our site. Go there. Buy everything.
Uh-huh.
But not the shower curtain. What's going on at Edge?
Going on at Edge. Well, actually, I have a link that tells me what's going on at Edge and didn't get put down at the bottom of the show notes. So I'm going to open it because it's at the top of the show notes and I'm going to read it and tell you that we're promoting the fact that we have IVOs coming up, Introduction to VoiceOver. Huh? And they're in a couple of different cities. So if you're in Chicago, Toronto, it says Toronto. I like that. Toronto?
That's Toronto. That's
Chicago, Toronto, and Atlanta, we do have IVOs for you. So if you're someone who's thinking about VoiceOver, you watched our show a lot, you're going, man, this looks really cool, I want to give it a shot, this is a great way to get into it at a very affordable amount. And that's, to find out more, you go to edgestudio.com/voice-over-class.
All right. Show logs, Jack DeGolia, writing every single word we got. That's mm-hmm. right here on our page. The podcast.
That's right. The podcast is another way to consume the show. I'm sure a lot of you are hearing my voice right now or listening on the podcast. If you want to consume the show in a different format while you're driving around, just get the podcast version. Type in VOBS in your iTunes or whatever way you like listening to podcasts, and you can listen to us instead of watch.
Right. Send in your voiceover for the opening credits.
Yeah.
If we like it, we'll use it.
If we don't, well, you know.
You just may never hear it. If you want to be in our studio, join us here in the studio. We actually have a studio audience tonight. Everett Oliver is with us tonight.
Hey.
Get the studio cam there. There he is. Wave,
there
Everett.
Is.
All right.
And there's Marcy.
It's up here somewhere. All right. But you, too, can be in the studio and watch the show live. We actually have enough room for a good-sized studio audience here, and it's always fun to have a live studio audience. Let's see. We need to thank our sponsors. Michelle Talley did our opening credits this morning or this afternoon or tonight or whenever we do this show. I lose track by about 5 o'clock. and we need to thank our sponsors, Harlan Hogan.
VO Extra.
Edge Studio.
Source Elements.
VO To Go Go. And
Antland. And the Rehearsal Pro
app. Rehearsal Pro app.
And Antland Productions.
For the uninterrupted, almost uninterrupted live stream of our show. Anyway, thanks to Anthony Gettig for being in the chat room tonight.
Thank you,
and
man.
Making sure that's all done. Thanks to Marcy for letting us do this here in our backyard every week. And Catherine Curridan for taking really fine notes and making sure our interviews go really, really well.
And finding great guests.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. We will see you next week. Harlan Hogan will be here. I won't see you next week, but I will see you next week.
We'll be zooming in.
Zooming in and out. All right. Anyway, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
Have a good week, everybody.
Thanks for joining us once again for another episode of VoiceOver Body Shop.